This week, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club on Long Island, New York, plays host to the 126th U.S. Open.
It's our distinct honor to present the Jack Nicklaus Medal to the United States Open champion, Brooks Koepka.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
It gets boring from like hole 5 to 12. You're just like, where am I right now?
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
I got the dad bod going. I'm not worried about it anymore.
And Brandon Sprague.
I can't tell you how nice it feels when you just get one off the tee and it's in the fairway.
U.S. Open Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Hello. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
Cutting that open a little close there to almost being 6:01 in the Rose
Ooh,
City.
A little tight right there, right out of the gate.
Oh, no, man.
We're already losing minutes or are we gaining minutes?
We're losing seconds.
Uh-oh, we're losing seconds. Speed it up. Come on, U.S.
That
Open
was one
Week.
Of the shorter ones.
If that's one of the shorter ones, we're screwed.
We're losing
We
time.
Are absolutely screwed.
Happy U.S. Open Week, everybody. That's at the top of everybody's mind right now.
That's what people celebrate today. They're coming in.
We're
They're
gonna
like,
do.
Ah, championships be damned. It's U.S. Open Week.
It's the most important of the championships, some would argue. We'll do every segment hole by hole, okay? So 6:27, we'll do hole one. 6:45, we'll do hole two. We'll just go hole by hole throughout there the week until we get all of Shinnecock scouted.
It is the second most important open of the major championships.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably not wrong.
And I didn't know where it's played until you literally just said that.
Hey, good old Shinnecock, baby.
Shinnecock. I feel like we just were in Shinnecock.
No, we've just been talking about Shinnecock
for a while.
Where
did they play the PGA?
God, I can't even remember off the top of my head. Where the hell did they play the PGA?
I swear on my mom, I could have told you for $1 million that it was Shinnecock.
Where was the PGA championship?
It's an old-ass club. This is embarrassing for you guys.
This is really embarrassing.
None of you, both your microphones are on. Numbnuts
no,
over
nothing.
Here isn't playing the game.
Anything.
He's playing
no.
Riggins.
Do you not even remember either, Swag?
This is pathetic.
Yeah, I do and I
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
Wow. You do and you don't. What
no,
you do?
That does not.
How do
sense.
You do, but you don't?
That does not.
And then you give me no
help at all. Aronimic.
There you go.
Aronimic.
Shinnecock, Aronimic.
It's somewhat
Same
similar.
Thing.
Shinnecock's hosted before. It's
known
for
carnage. This is their eighth one.
Yeah, right. This is supposed to be the hardest course out there.
All right.
They were there like...
Easy. We're not going to dive into U.S. Open chapter.
You know, the last time it was at Shinnecock.
It was Brooks.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool.
Brooksy won it.
Thumbs up. Awesome.
That was a double thumbs up.
There you
up.
Go.
That was a double thumbs up. How was the weekend?
It was a delightful little weekend. Yeah. Other than being 100 degrees yesterday, that kind of blew.
A little toasty at the ballpark yesterday.
Did it get to 100?
I think it got close.
93, 94.
I thought it was
what,
94 was
yeah.
the high.
Oh, is that all it ended up getting up
yeah.
to?
Yeah.
I didn't look on the local weather. It just felt like 100 when you're out standing in the sun. We didn't do a lot outside in the afternoon. Got the kiddie pool set up in the backyard. He flopped around in that for a little bit. Thankfully, a decent amount of shade back there that helps. But
oh, that's good. You got some good trees.
It was a delightful weekend. Dude, I went to a card show this weekend. I went to the Front Row card show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Nephew's getting super into cards, and so they were going to go, and I was like, yeah, we'll pop over and check it out. So I went over, bought Teddy his first pack. He opened it up, thought that was pretty cool.
Did he get any cool cards?
Nothing of
what's
value.
The best what's the best player he got?
I bought David Robinson, probably.
Oh.
They had a $10 pack of, like, there was, like, a exclusive Michael Jordan in these 1990 Fleer boxes, and he just grabbed. So I was like, that's going to be fun. $10 pack, like,
yeah.
Roll the dice, opened up on the way home. He thought that was pretty fun. Dude, it was crazy walking around and seeing the old cards and how much some of them are going for and the haggle.
Who
Never
was,
been to something like that
Who
before.
Was the biggest, quote, celebrity that was there signing?
I have no idea. I did not what, see
Were
any
there
this.
People signing stuff?
Based on the commercials I heard on our station last week, I believe that there
okay.
were, but I did not find my way over to the signing area.
Okay.
So I think there was somebody in town, but I don't know. I just know I saw like a couple of baseball cards for like 18 grand. And all I could
wow.
think about was...
Who buys that?
Who's buying that?
Who has 18
yeah.
grand on them right
on
now
them.
To buy that?
Can you Venmo this? Is this like a cash transaction? I got a lot of follow-up questions.
So the thing about the Front Row card show
yeah.
that just happened is it's as much about Pokemon as it is sports
oh,
cards.
Dude, Pokemon,
in fact, Pokemon
yeah.
trounces it, I think.
It was all Pokemon stuff was all over.
I was
which
at,
I don't know anything about Pokemon cards.
Well, I don't either. I just know that my mom threw away a 101 Charizard my brother had, and it ended up selling for $800,000 years ago. It's our claim to fame. but She couldn't believe that.
Come on, Mom!
Because he got super into it when it came out, and I made fun of him for it in the time.
Who wouldn't have made fun of a friend for getting into Pokemon when
we were
kids?
I was 4 years older than him, so when it came out, I was of an age where, like, cartoon cards are not something I'm into, so I'm going to make fun of my little brother.
I never understood or did the Pokemon thing. It was certainly a big deal. I acknowledge that. But when it first burst onto the scene, it was very nerdy.
And now
it's much more mainstream.
He got a Charizard in his first pack, which we bought him, like, right away. And he was like, showing me the cards. And I was like, yeah, that dragon's pretty cool. And he's like, that's Charizard.
It's Charizard, dude.
And he put it in a frame.
Yeah.
And he kept it for years and years and years and years. He was just going to keep it.
This is my Charizard. I can't lose my Charizard.
And we moved so much that my mom eventually just completely got rid of it.
Yeah.
And about 3 or 4 years ago, somebody had sold one of those for, it's either $400 or $800, but $800 sounds better for the story.
Sure.
$1,000. And my little brother's like, I literally
had
this
card. I had that card.
Mint condition frame.
Yeah. Got it, bought it, put it in frame.
Nothing's
ever touched it. It's got it grayed out perfectly.
And she goes, well, how was I supposed to know? Nicholas?
Maybe you should throw my stuff away, Mom.
Maybe don't throw people's stuff away.
You know, maybe hold on to my stuff, all right? That could be worth a lot of money someday. That stupid thing that I liked doing when I was a kid. Maybe it's going to pay off 10 years from now, all right?
So the best card you ended up getting was David Robinson, huh?
Yeah, that was the best card. But it was fun, man. My nephew took cards. He was like haggling. You also realize some of the, I don't know if racket's the right word, but like my brother is getting back into it. My dad has old cards laying around. So we all went and they were looking at getting ones like graded and like, does anybody want to buy and all this? And you realize then you got to go pay your $50 to get your card graded. And then if you're going to sell something, it's only going for $110, but you already paid $50 to get it graded. So learning like how the sausage was made was a lot of fun. It was just really cool seeing all the, there's just the old historic cards that were under the cases and all the different displays that people had set up. I'd never been in anything like that before, and it made me want to like get back into trading cards again. There was some badass stuff there.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to break into though now.
Yes. Oh, I'm never going to be at that level.
I know.
Yeah, it's no thank you. But I can get my Kevin Garnett rookie cards out, all right? Display those bad boys. Those are still in hard plastic. They're worth like $19.99.
The funny thing is you think you got like a great card, it gets graded and it's like it's a 7. It's like cool, it's not worth anything.
Why is this a 7? Can you show me why this is a
7?
There
is always reason it's slightly off.
Well, actually,
it's not cut perfectly straight.
If you look under a microscope.
Me and Tubbs did this a few years ago. We went and got a pack and we were hoping to hit it big and we drew a Zion.
Ooh.
And in the moment of drawing a Zion, people were like, oh.
This is a big deal.
And then we showed it to the guy and he's like, oh, you got a Zion. And he looks at it and he goes, probably never going to grade higher than like a 7, 5 or an 8.
I just took it out of the package.
We're like, why? And he goes, see the little halo above his head? And we're like, why is that on there?
Why is this my fault?
Just bad luck, man. Just the way it's printed.
That's
so we ended up framing it. It's in Tubbs' house.
He's got it framed up in his house.
Well, I'd say he just got it in a vault in case it ever blew up, but I don't think it's ever going to happen now.
No, probably not with Zion. That is the tough part when you're collecting rookies. You need that player to be good and healthy, and that has not quite been the case with Zion Williamson over the last 5 years. He hasn't quite delivered on his end of your card bargain.
No, he has not.
Some of the ones that they have now with like the jersey patches, though,
that's
and like
cool.
Sign. I think the most expensive, and I didn't look at every booth, the most expensive card that I saw appeared to be an autographed rookie Walter Payton card.
That's pretty badass.
And I want to say the price tag, when just walking around, it was like $18,000 was the asking price for that card. That was the sticker on it.
What is the current athlete that you would want a card of value? It'd be Ohtani, right?
Probably Ohtani.
Because you know somebody in Japan's giving you $1 million for a perfect card.
Yes. Yeah, Ohtani is tough just because you would open it up to the international market.
I think Messi or Ohtani in some way, like a jersey card.
Do they do soccer cards? I've never really seen
them. I don't know.
I would assume there'd be.
Never really seen them, but I assume
MLS
they do.
MLS cards, I would think there'd be. I don't know if they.
Well, I got a Landon Donovan here.
Anthony.
Do they just have one name on it, or does that have his last name on the card too, or does the one name?
Do they do international? Are there like EPL or La Liga?
Why are you asking him those questions? Like he knows the answer. He just went to his first card show.
All I saw was mainly the theme was classic baseball. The classic baseball cards was the most enjoyable part.
The Honus Wagner?
Dude, there's like Willie Mays cards in here.
That's pretty cool.
Like Mickey Mantle.
How much is Willie Mays?
A couple thousand. Mm. I mean, depending. A ton of people had Willie Mays cards, so everyone was a little bit different.
Did
I don't know why.
Did you get tempted?
Hell no, I'm not buying something like that right now.
It'd be really cool to have,
dude. It'd be awesome to have. Not if I had another kid on the way. I'm not dropping $4,000 on a Willie Mays baseball card right now.
Ah, the card shows.
That would go over well. Hey, babe, guess what? Came home with a little. I bought a stock in Willie Mays Future.
It's an investment.
That? Yeah, that's right. It's only going to go
Willie
up.
Willie Mays Future. What's his
batting
average?
He's dead. Well, it don't matter. It's going to go up. Okay, as time goes on, babe. Trust me on this one.
The longer he's dead, the better the value.
It's like artwork.
Give it time, all right? Give it time. It's like a Banksy. I just bought one.
So this weekend, I had a busy little weekend. By the way, got a sneaky... You know what's cool about my life versus maybe your life?
Yes.
I'm starting to get sneaky little previews of childless adulthood.
Oh, it's around the corner for you, man. You're not far off.
So Saturday, what happens is my youngest is with my sister-in-law, and they're out and about. And then my oldest is also with my sister-in-law.
Okay.
Okay? So it's the wife and I, and we had like this whole big thing of stuff to get done this weekend,
got
right?
A to-do list to do.
Yes. Well, not to, yeah, yes, yeah. Kind of. So we think, okay, what are we going to do first? Well, my nephew has a baseball game at 8 a.m. in Sherwood.
Gotta love an 8 a.m. weekend baseball
and
game.
We hadn't gone to any of his games this year.
What are we doing to kids, man? An 8 a.m. baseball game?
I have a lot on this.
Dude, what are we doing?
Well,
my nephew has this sometimes. He'll play like an 8 a.m. soccer game. And I'm like, I'm not going.
The crazy thing to me is
limited field.
It's 8 a.m. and it's like, oh, you guys play again today? Yeah, we play at 2. And I'm like, what are you going to do for 4 hours? We're going to go home.
Game's over at 9:30. You go home for 3 hours and then.
And they live 25 minutes away from where they're playing.
So it's
an
hour commute each way.
What are we doing here? Some of these kids play 3 games a day.
It's ludicrous, dude.
But the brand man comes in here Friday and he goes, asks me what I'm doing this weekend. I was like, oh, I got a lot of stuff going on. What are you doing? He's like, well, my kid's playing your nephew. And I swear to God, his kid and my nephew, I don't think they have other teams in the league. I think they only play each other.
They just, the two teams, and they play each other over and over again.
I'm not kidding, exaggerating.
Just a 30-game series for the season?
Every week. Well, my kid played your nephew. Every week.
First and I'm one like, to win 16 wins.
Are there any other teams and schools involved in this? So he tells me. So I show up, and we get to the park. The parking is, of course, you know, really full. So we're walking. Yeah. As I walk, it's one of these multiplexes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. There's the sports like complexes. Fields.
As we're walking up and we're trying to figure out which field it is, we walk up and I'm in my own zone. I got my shades on. The weather's beautiful. It's perfect. All of a sudden, I hear this. And I go, And I look and I turn over my shoulder and I'm like,
I don't know what this is.
I start looking and I'm like, no.
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 And I'm blown away and I don't know what to think. My wife goes, what are you looking at? And I go, I swear to God, Swag is here.
He's here.
And she goes,
He's voicing your walk through the parking lot.
Did you not hear that?
Yeah. Once you hear Swag, you can't unhear Swag.
And maybe 2 or 3 minutes later, we get a kid that strikes out. I hear a, da 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 da, and I go, did you hear it? And she goes, that was him.
That
and
one I heard.
I start looking around, and I have realized
here's the situation.
The brand man has Swag recorded doing walk-up name announcements for the brand man's kids' team. Which, by the way, they all get their own music. And they got somebody that calls Hobbs Games doing their walk-up name as well. And I'm just starting laughing
fantastic.
My ass off.
That
and
is
I go,
fantastic. I can't even escape this guy on the weekend,
oh,
man.
Oh, he's everywhere.
I got to deal with him all week. And I can finally get a break, show up to the Little League game, and here we go.
Well, then I started thinking about, like, okay,
are there any rolled R's on his team?
There are no rolled R's.
If the girls' team's coaching, I don't know what the setup is for your youth league basketball. I would be happy to do that
and
for
now.
Your girls.
Well, I was thinking, so he calls the Hops games, right? He does this for the Hops.
It was a Little League weekend, so we had all the Little League. We had pregame parades both Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. And the fan man was out with the family yesterday.
So I thought, okay, it makes sense. But I was thinking about this. In Little League, how do you think you would be as a walk-up announcer? I was wondering in my head. I can't out-play-by-play him.
No.
He would
no.
kill me in that.
Yeah, not even close.
But what approach would I take if I did the walk-up call of these Little League players? Could I be better than him?
Ooh.
Because his energy's good.
Kid's going to get the full swag.
It's great energy.
Tonight.
Yeah, it's great energy.
It's really well done. Right. All these kids got their little rap music cut up and ready to play.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Dude. Put your hands in the air.
I have a lot of thoughts on
some
the little
8-year-old strutting to the plate. What are we doing, man?
But I was wondering if I could be as good, if not better.
My only approach would be to go as low as I can go. I want to go low.
Okay, give me an example.
Now batting at second base, number 12, Joey Nuts. I would go like comical announcer
Why
voice.
Did you go Joey Nuts?
I don't know. I couldn't think of a last name.
Joey Nuts.
Joey Nuts, dude. Here comes little Joey and his little nuts. He's coming up to hit. All right.
So you're trying to go.
They call him the squirrel.
You're going Bowles guy.
I'm going Bowles guy. Yeah.
That's your motivation.
That's my go-to guy.
Okay.
The only time I've ever done any sort of introduction, my wife's cousin got married a number of years back, and he asked me to do like a play-by or a announcer intro for the bridesmaids and the groomsmen. And they wrote like a little, you know, like a one sentence roast of all of them.
Standing 5'3".
Yeah, I did height and weight, and I did now from, and then hometown, and then they had like a one or two sentence roast for all of them of something dumb that they had done or something, you know. And so, and then I spliced it all together and put some music behind it. I'm pretty sure I did the Bulls music. I can't remember if they had a different song for me to use, but I think it was serious. I think
literally just copied.
I think I did Alan Parsons Project. This is all I got, dude. I got one thing in my bag. That's it, man.
So the other thing I took away. Aside from this, is
that's
like,
a brilliant idea, though. By the way,
what
like Little League Dirt? If you gave Little League Dirt an announcer voice and a walk-up song, are you kidding me?
So that's what I figured out this weekend. Baseball is crazy now.
It is insane,
kids. They all like all four games. I was like, kind of, you know, because sometimes you got these low points where there's not a lot of hits and the pitches are, you know,
walks,
getting away.
A lot of walks,
a lot of stolen bases. So I'm looking around at some of these other games, and it's like every single one of them. And it's like, you know, wop, 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 dot, mess them up. And it's like a little 10-year-old coming up. And
let's find the edited version, please.
Yeah, basically that. And they're all
A minor.
Up. A minor.
They're all minors.
Dude, they all have rap music. They all, you know what they're wearing now?
They got their oven mitt gloves on?
No.
For base stealing?
They are coming up with like thick chains.
Oh, God.
They look like Atlanta Braves. They look like Ozzy Albies. They have like four chains. One kid on my nephew's team has the fakest multicolored diamond necklace I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And it's thick. It's a big old thick chain. They got all the gear. Their bats are like, one kid's bat looks like a number two pencil.
It's like a number two pencil.
It's crazy, man. They got all this gear. Just the game has changed. And then in between innings, they had music.
Oh, you got to play music in between innings.
They had music in between the innings. And I'm like,
slide
what is
to
this?
The left. Everybody in the stands gets up, does the cha-cha slide. I will say for kids nowadays, their gear and equipment is way too available. That's the problem in society.
Way too available?
It's easy to get. You can go online and order it. When we were kids, and Swag obviously growing up in the 20s, it was much different for him. But when we were kids, I can get one in there, sorry.
They had to make their own wood bats.
They did. They had to whittle them down from a tree like Wonder Boy.
Pa, I got a game tomorrow. Is it done?
We would get like an East Bay catalog, and you would look through it, and your parent, like my parents would never buy me anything. My Christmas list would be nothing but East Bay wish list of this sleeve,
pages 2 through 45,
this visor, this, you know, whatever arm thing, and none of it would ever show up from Santa Claus on Christmas morning, and I would be depressed. But you know what? It was good because it kept me from looking like an idiot. When we got older, if you wanted an arm sleeve, I'll never forget my brother taking one of the long soccer socks and just cutting the foot part off of it and wearing it on his arm as like a solo sleeve in JV football. Like, that was our access to those things.
Yeah.
And now kids everywhere can get oven mitts when they want, even though none of them slide hand first.
No, none of them do. I don't think they're allowed to,
actually. They all slide feet first, but they have these giant oven mitts sticking out of their back pockets. Like, they don't even fit, man.
Dude, Little League sports are just way cooler now than they were when we were
kids. Oh, I can't blame any of them, because if you put me in this era as a kid, I would want every single one of those things.
I was telling my wife, I'm like, dude, this is so much cooler than what
I would have had the eye black on. I would have had big shades. I would have had necklaces. Like, if you gave 10-year-old Dirt that option, I would have been grabbing all that stuff.
The coolest thing about our youth baseball with Little League was Burnside Field just existing. Because it was like a mini stadium off Burnside. That was it.
That's all we got.
We weren't doing anything else.
No walk-up music.
What are you talking about?
The biggest deal in youth baseball was when you ever got to eventually play in a place with an actual dugout. Like getting to a stadium or like Walker, which now where the Pickles play, we eventually in like Babe Ruth, you'd get to that point in middle school.
If you have a fence, you feel cool.
Fence is cool. And then an actual, like you're walking up the stairs of the dugout to get on the field. Oh my God. That's like, I'm in the show, baby. I'm in the show.
It was the one game I showed up to, Brandman's kids team. Like they got obliterated by my nephew's team.
You're the good luck charm.
And his wife goes, "This is the game you go to." And I was like, "Good timing by me."
That's right. Your kids team sucks, man. What's up with that?
I didn't say that, but I did feel bad because it's such an early start time at 8 a.m.
It was brutal for a Saturday morning.
And one team seemed a little more like, we're not awake yet versus the other.
I think you're going to get that for half of the game when it's 8 a.m. for kids, man.
The brand man was playing a lot of psychologists, a lot of hands on the shoulders. It's okay, guy. Yeah. Guy, it's okay.
He's the Ted Lasso of youth baseball, people tell me.
Not even the swag call-ups could get them going quite.
He was very complimentary of his coaching skills. They had never done much. He said this year they're winning games, doing things his youth baseball league's never done.
I can't tell who the head coach of the team is, by the way. Brand man, I don't think is.
Is it kind of a rotating cast of like, you take the responsibility on?
Well, I think Brandman
was taking a lot of the encouragement.
Was he? Yeah, a lot of the. Is he a good clapper? Has he got a good Jason Garrett clap?
He's just he's hand on shoulder guy.
Hand on shoulder.
Hey, guy. That was a strike. Strike zone's not there for you right now, guy. It's okay, guy. Just keep throwing. You're good, guy.
You got it, buddy.
Hey. Hey.
Hey, let's go, baby. Let's
Ritalin.
Go. Hey.
Ritalin. Nice cut. Hey. Nice cut, Ritalin.
There we go.
Let's go. 12-1. I'm sorry. We got a busy show today.
We do.
It's a lot going on.
It's a championship Monday.
A championship Monday. They're both over.
It's all done, man.
Yeah, we have nothing else to look forward to. Well, we got soccer.
We do.
Got the World Cup. It is U.S. Open week.
I believe that we will win.
It is U.S. Open.
I believe that we will win.
Yeah, the U.S.
We play Australia.
That's going to be quite the match.
Yes, it is. Oh, you're talking about golf, U.S. Opens.
Yeah. That too.
Come on, man.
I can't believe that. All right, well, we have a lot to get to. Let's get it going, Dirt and Sprague. Nice to be with you. We get it started next on 105.1 The Fan. Shout out the Blazers owner, Tommy Dundon, getting his first Stanley Cup as a sports owner. And congratulations to former Winterhawk great Seth Jarvis.
Seth Jarvis getting a cup, man.
That was cool.
It was really fun. We weren't sure on Friday if we would get both series to end or would they still be going or would one be going. Both games were good. They delivered, kept you around. Obviously, you end up getting the shutout there in the final game of the Stanley Cup final. And I was reminded of not only is the handshake line after the win one of the cooler things, like we'll get to the NBA Finals, Wemby walks off the floor, doesn't say anything to anybody. You get these like controversial moments from players who do or don't do the right thing or whatever is expected of them in that moment.
Oh, I got a take on this.
Oh, you got to have takes on that. The handshake line is one of the greatest traditions in all of sports, and you get it at the end of a culmination of a hockey series, no matter what round it is, but it obviously means a little bit more in the Stanley Cup Final. And then the other part of it that I truly do enjoy, and again, it was on display because we saw it on Friday and then we saw it on Sunday. It's the only sport I believe. Now, I was trying to rack my head on baseball because I can't remember exactly how it works in baseball. But to my knowledge, it's one of the few or only sports where you hand the trophy direct. I mean, you just hand it to a player. And you have like a little photo shoot there with the captain of the team, with the commissioner and the player, and then he lifts it up, and then he hands it to a teammate, and it's not handed directly into the hands of an owner who nobody wants to hear from, because that happened on Friday, and I'm like, get this drunk jackass off my television. Can I hear from Jalen Brunson,
exactly,
who just scored 45?
No, baseball, they give it to the owner,
okay,
or the,
that's what I thought.
Or the representative of the team.
And I know in the NFL they obviously do. You got to hand it to the owner.
So
the
hockey
owner
is a one-on-one in
it's
this.
It's a one-on-one.
It goes to the captain. Captain of the team
and
on
then
the ice.
You go through whatever order you want. Then he hands it to somebody, and then that player hands it to somebody, and every player skates with it before anybody else touches it.
Yeah.
So Tommy Two Nichols was down on the ice. He eventually held it and lifted it up.
Yeah.
And I was watching the coverage. I still had it on TV, so he eventually lifted it up. But I was just reminded of that's when you're a fan and you see a team win a championship, you want to see the players celebrate like they won the championship. The owner, I don't know. It's more out of sight, out of mind. You're thankful, appreciative of your efforts. Thank you for that. But let's let the players celebrate with
it. Well, I wanted to get to an angle of the game, but now you're making me think about this. Like, I was wondering, watching Jim Dolan get the trophy.
Him and his fake teeth.
God, dude. Freddie Freeman, line two.
Dude,
those teeth were huge.
Way worse than Freddie Freeman.
Honking teeth, dude, man.
Heartless.
Jim, congratulations. I'm your folk fighter.
I've had 37 glasses of wine tonight.
Nick fans, it took a while, but we've got it.
Everybody's booing him. Like, geez, you're a horrible owner. Get off of the stage.
But I was thinking, like, if I was an owner, now it's easier said than done because I didn't grow up on third base the way Jim Dolan did.
Yes.
But if I came into money in my 50s, bought a sports franchise.
You're the owner of the team.
And I'm the facing owner.
You're the guy. You own the Carolina Hurricanes. You want the trophy first?
No. If I owned a basketball team, because I think if I owned a team, I'd want to do basketball the most.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident in telling you I'd be there celebrating with them. I would not be the first one to grab that trophy.
Yeah, or be the first one to be interviewed in the aftermath celebration.
I actually don't want to be interviewed.
No.
Let them do it, and if you catch me in the tunnel when I ask me a question for a quote, I'd give
you one.
By
all means, the little press gaggle in the aftermath of it.
But Jim Dolan did nothing in Game 5. Jalen Brunson was legendary.
Yes.
I don't need Jim Dolan first. I need Jim Dolan never.
How about the head coach getting an interview first before that? You know, I just, what are we doing here?
We need to get to Mike Brown today.
Yes. Who let the dogs out? Who doesn't love a good who let the dogs
he's
out?
He's a great example of don't stop even when you don't have it the first time. Keep it going
until you get somebody going
with you.
And that is a great – I mean, that's – look, this is why we're radio broadcasters. That's what the Carolina Hurricanes were, man. I mean, they for 8 years, they've been a playoff team. Yeah. They've been the little engine that could. They've been good. They've been close.
Lost, what, 3 or 4 straight Eastern Conference finals?
Yeah, I mean, you're a round away from going to the Cup, and you just can't quite get over the hump, and you tinker, and you add, and you just, you know, all these thoughts about is the coach right? Is the, you know, the composition of the roster right? What do we need? It just, they have been a team. And I thought that was the fun part about the weekend as a whole for me as a sports fan. Lord knows on Mondays after championships, if anybody's going to come in here and dump in your Cheerios, it will be me. I'm anti most teams that win championships. We haven't had a great run like OKC last year. The Dodgers have won back-to-back. Seeing the Seahawks win for me personally wasn't that great. So we haven't had a great run of champions as of late. This was a weekend where it was like, man, those were the two teams that I desperately wanted to see win.
You don't think we've had a good run of champions?
I don't think. Not in terms of like, I'm not saying not compelling, but teams that I want to root for that I want to see win championships. There have not been a lot of those. The cool story of college football chopped the head off of my football program in the semifinals.
I was going to say, that's a pretty cool champion.
It's a great championship. Crazy. I understand it. They didn't chop the head of your program off in the semifinals.
No, you did that to us. You left us.
It's all our fault. Not USC's at all. So, like, that was the fun part for me. And I think both teams are very similar in that angle of they've both been close. They've both been competitive. They both have taken their lumps and tried to get over the hump and added a piece here, tinkered there. You know, one team has changed coach. The other has had the same coach the entire time. But to see Carolina finally get to the mountaintop, to see Jordan Staal be the oldest Conn Smythe winner in the history of the league was really cool.
I think second longest is what I heard, a run between his first cup and his second cup. I think Chelios was the only one more. It was a 16-year gap for Chris Chelios.
Sounds about right, because I think he won it in 09. Yeah, and then 2026, so it's forever ago. And then the other compelling angle of it for me was you had really fun, emotional, relatable stories, I think, for both teams. Like, and for Carolina, it wasn't the story the entire run, but it became the story at the end. But the Bussy storyline of him coming in as a goaltender, had never played in the NHL before this season, had been in the AHL forever, and then he gets a shutout in the clinching game in the Stanley Cup final.
Hot goalie,
like,
dude.
Like, you just cannot, can't write the script any better than that. And made for a really fun Sunday. The celebration was a lot of fun. Their arena was sold out. And so it was a great Stanley Cup final. Didn't get the game 7, but I got no other complaints.
Well, they lost game 1. I'm curious just your thoughts. I don't know enough about the sport. And maybe it's just as simple as this. One team won 60 games. The other team won 39. Maybe it just boils down to that showed itself at the end. But after losing game 1 to win 4 or 5 games, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, against that team who had been playing as good a hockey as anybody.
I mean, they swept the Avalanche right out of the playoffs.
It's a tough one because Vegas kind of broke everybody's brains for a little bit. Their regular season and their postseason didn't mesh. It didn't compute. And you didn't quite know how did they get here? How do they pull this off?
You know, the Knicks were a much more successful team. The Knicks kind of had that, too, though, for people.
Going into the Eastern Conference, a lot of people thought they were going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, I told you, remember we picked the
first
round.
We thought Atlanta might be a fun.
Atlanta, New York could be a really spicy, fun one.
And then they were down 2-1. Yeah. And everybody thought, oh, here, Knicks might be out the first round after firing their head coach. And then they end up winning an NBA championship.
Right.
There's a lot of similarities, I think, for both sports in that regard. But, yeah, to turn it around like that, Vegas' biggest issue was Carter Hart. He was terrible for their entire postseason run. And it just reared its ugly head, and you needed to score 5 goals in order to win. It was the first time all series he held them below 4 goals. Ironically, they didn't help him out.
Did they not have a backup goalie they could go to?
It's former Portland Winterhawk, Aiden Hill, who
they did,
won a Stanley Cup with them a couple of years ago.
Torts was like, he's my guy. I'm sticking with my guy.
He did the De'Aaron Fox thing. He's like, this is my guy. He's got us here, and I'm sticking with him.
Interesting decision, because on the other side, you got Brendan Moore. You know, he's looking to win his first cup as a coach, manager. He didn't hesitate in the series. He went to a guy that was
undrafted. There is some indication that Freddie was dealing with an injury of some sort.
And they were just being hush-hush about it and didn't want it out there.
Okay, but we see goalies get replaced in the playoffs.
It happens,
it's pretty regular,
guys
I think,
can get
in
pulled
hockey.
And another guy can get hot, and sometimes you ride the hot hand, sometimes you go back to the original starter.
I think in desperation now, if my goalie's not good, you just have to make the tough call and say, dude.
I said it on Friday. I would have sat him down. He gave up 4 goals in 5 straight games. Like, he was getting shredded.
Yeah.
The first one that he gave up was a pretty soft goal. Like,
that one went right under his armpit. Yeah, that one's you got to come up with. It was a good shot from Taylor Hall, but it was a breakaway. He saw it the whole way. That one you got to come up with.
You got to make that save. And so that was their biggest issue. And then it was just Carolina got their power play going later in the series. And once they did that, it was kind of
over. As soon
as
you mentioned that on the show, it seemed like they scored every power play.
They did. They ended up cooking there. A fun story, and I love these little angles from coaches. Brendan Moore is an interesting guy because he's the only person that you kind of associate almost with Carolina, because he was there as a player and won a cup. He's been the coach now for nearly a decade. Like, he is Mr. Hurricane himself. His lifting of the cup, his interview stuff is hilarious. He's a fascinating character. But I saw this after the game. So Sebastian Aho, who's been one of their longest players, finally wins, breaks. So he's been with them his whole career. He said after every workout that they've done since the end of last season through the offseason, all regular season, every workout as a team, they had a specific brick that they had to lift as their last workout, and they had to lift it over their head.
Is it the weight of the Stanley Cup?
And it was the weight of the Stanley Cup. And he told them after the game that none of them, I mean, maybe some of them connected the dots, I don't know, but it was just like, you got done doing, you know, this or that, squats and this, and okay, everybody lift your brick.
35-pound brick, there you go.
Lift your brick, put it back down, and that was the end of the workout. And then he told them after they won the cup that the brick was the same weight as the Stanley Cup.
So I was watching Dolan lift the trophy, and it looked like for about a half a second there, I feel like you can see his arm shaking as if he's struggling to lift the trophy over his own head.
I'd imagine he is.
Maybe I just, you know, maybe just a weird angle or something.
Weak old man arms.
Like, when you look at the trophies, what trophy seems like the most, like the baseball World Series trophy, I want nothing to do with holding that trophy.
That's the worst one.
I'd be terrified of dropping it.
I'm going to break the flags.
Yeah.
I don't trust myself with it.
One of them snaps off.
The Lombardi, actually, because you can kind of right around where the football sits on the pedestal.
You can choke it a little bit.
Yeah.
Hold it up.
Or toss it from boat to boat, you know?
Yeah,
like Brady
you can
once
do that
did.
Too.
But then you saw Carl Anthony Towns holding up the Larry O. Dude, one-handed, as if it was like 2 pounds for him.
Right.
I know he's a 7-footer, but it's like crazy to see how small that trophy can look to those guys. The Stanley Cup, I can't tell if I think it looks heavy. It looks like it'd be really light to me for some reason. Like, how heavy is the brick?
It's 35 pounds.
35 pounds is the weight of it.
Okay. I can do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that. It looks like it would be much heavier than that until you lift it up. It is funny, though, to watch some people, because eventually you get the whole team skates
with
it first.
You got to make sure you get a good grip on it.
Yes.
That's the thing. You don't want it to slip out of your
hands. Well, and Brendan Moore is a bit of a psycho. If you didn't see the on-ice video of him.
Oh, dude. That
he was
guy
holding it below his. Oh, so he grabbed it before, like he was going to lift it up, and then he tossed it up into the air, like unheld for a moment, flipped it and caught it and gave it a bear hug.
Oh, I love that.
And everybody on the ice was like, oh. Okay, we're good.
Anybody ever dropped and broke it?
Oh, yeah, there's stories.
I'm sure that's been dented.
No, I mean like on the ice celebration.
They did for a team picture fairly recently, like within the last 5 years.
I don't remember that.
Then after they all skate around, then they have the picture
group photo,
at ice. And somehow when they were trying to put it in the middle, somebody dropped it and it was a little dented.
Dented on
and
the
I can't
of it.
Remember who it was. I think it was in the last 5 years, though.
The Larry O weighs 30 pounds.
Really?
Oh, that's pretty dense.
So the Stanley Cup is only 5 pounds heavier than the Larry O.
Yeah. Because I think the Stanley Cup, like around the rings, is fairly hollow in the middle.
The one thing I've never figured out about the Stanley Cup, and I'm sure you, like, how have they not run out of, when do you take?
They replace the rings.
Yeah, like eventually when you fill up a ring. So what's the oldest year that's on the cup right now?
I think it's
how far back will we go?
There's a timeline on that.
59 years.
Yeah.
59 years worth.
Got it. Okay.
On the rings.
And then you lose a year.
Now, there's some stuff that's on the cup that goes back 100 and whatever years.
That'll never come off.
That'll never come off. But when they started putting the rings below.
What do you do with the rings when they're gone? You put them in the
Hall
of Fame?
They go to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Is the Larry O or the Lombardi the better trophy between those two?
I think the Lombardi, it's just a little cleaner and sleeker. I think it's cool that it's silver. Rather than brass or gold or whatever it is.
Has the net always been on the Larry O?
Yeah.
Always has been?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well,
I don't remember that back in the day.
It may have been introduced in like the 80s or something.
Yeah. I might go Larry O, to be honest.
I like
with
the
you.
Larry O, I think a I little might. More.
I mean, we obviously love football more than we love basketball.
No doubt.
Winning a Super Bowl is a bigger deal. But
no doubt.
Yeah, if I could pick a trophy to have, I think I would pick the Larry O.
Well, the Carolina Hurricanes win. I have something from that game that you mentioned that I want to bring back and how it ties to the NBA Finals. We will dive into the New York Knicks winning the championship at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on 105.1, The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. The New York Knicks have won their first championship in 53 years.
You know what that means. Now, in one way, this is not true, but in another way, I believe it is true that we now have the longest title drought in the NBA. Well, there are teams who have existed longer that have they have a longer they haven't won one in a longer span, but they've never won one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in terms
like
of
Minnesota
droughts,
and Phoenix,
right? Sacramento,
yeah.
Like there's some teams
never
have never won,
won
it.
Yeah.
But when you're counting the drought, New York ended their title drought.
Right.
Now have the longest drought in the NBA.
Okay. Who won 74? Now you're making me want to go back.
I think
and look
that was
that.
The Warriors. I want to say.
Okay, 75. This is right in your sweet spot.
This is right in there.
Yeah, right in your prime.
Lakers might have won one in there.
Okay.
All right, what are we looking for? 74 was this. So 73 was the Knicks, yep, obviously, yep, the yep. end of their drought. 74 was the Boston Celtics over the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
75 was the Warriors over the Bullets.
Yep.
76 was the Celtics again, shocking,
yeah, okay.
over
and
the
then
Suns.
Us, and then it's
then us. Then Sonics. It was the Bullets over
Bullets,
the Sonics.
Yeah.
And then the Sonics over the Bullets.
Bullets. Yeah. So it's us and the Wizards.
Yeah, we got them. They got us by a year, or we got them by
yeah,
a year, depending on how you want to define that. So
yeah.
We now have the longest title drought in the NBA.
Well, that's pretty awesome. So I was watching the end of that hockey, and we'll dive into the NBA Finals.
Our championship stuff. Owner is going to give us hope, right? He's gonna lift our wings, be the air beneath our sails.
I should have asked you guys this off the air, but I'll ask you on the air. Look, do you ever say something off the air to people in your orbit that you never think is going to come back to impact your on-the-air stuff?
Mm.
So about a decade ago, I snuck a friend of mine into a Blazer-Knicks game.
Okay.
Claimed he worked at the Fan.
Mm-hmm.
Got a media credit. It's when the Knicks sucked, so I didn't figure
right.
I'd get
it's
any
not
trouble
a huge,
for this, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knew. I was like, he's a producer.
Nobody's ever done that before.
No.
No.
This was a long
Never.
Time ago. Okay,
Never happened before.
Anyways, he met Carmelo Anthony, thought
yeah.
that was a really big deal, right? Like, he was in awe that I had this kind of access. He's like, this is what you get to do every Blazer game? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Anyone I want to come to, I can, yeah.
So he's a big Knicks fan.
Yeah.
I told him, because every year of my life, he has claimed the Knicks are going to win the championship.
This is the championship year. This is the year.
And he's like, if they win, though, I have to be on your show. And I go, yeah, sure, okay. If they ever win the title, you could be on the show.
10 years ago, made a promise.
And he calls me.
You he hasn't it. Forgotten.
Hello.
He calls me
What
Saturday.
Time do you want me
what
tomorrow
What time
morning?
Is my slot?
He goes, Sprague, what time am I going to be on Monday? I go, what? He's like, the Knicks won, baby. He's like, I'm driving to a Knicks bar right now. And I go, there's a Knicks bar here?
There's a Knicks bar in Portland?
Guess there was.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, I'm assuming we got those all over the place, I guess.
I didn't know if we should call him for even a minute to let him just do his happiest, the Knicks won, baby, and then
get
just get him off the air.
You should have just found a way to, like, record his little, like one of these fan things that were, like, all the people going crazy in Times Square.
Am I going to have to hit the
Stick
dump
a microphone
button?
In front of
no.
his face for 1 minute. Let him go on his Knicks in five, bing, bong. Bing bong, bing bong, bang bang, and then you know, get him off the air.
He won't curse. In fact, you can make fun of him because he wore a Tim Duncan jersey every day in high school, and then randomly became a huge Knicks fan.
Okay,
he does rock the Knicks. He's been loyal to the soil since
never
he made that
quit
switch.
After the middle school jump.
Nope,
but he was rocking a Tim Duncan jersey. Huh? So he rooted for the team that beat the Knicks in the 1999 NBA Finals. Is that what I'm finding out here?
I don't know, man.
And then flipped to becoming a Knicks fan after that?
I don't know. Yes.
We all have funny sports origin stories. I won't make fun of it.
Well, he's been begging me. He's like, give me on.
Get me on the show.
Damn it, I can't believe this actually happened. I told that
I never
to you
thought
it
I'd
sucked.
Actually have to pay this bet off.
I
man.
Didn't.
Yeah.
Like the
they were the sports cowboys.
Exactly.
Kevin from The Office. If somebody's going to give you odds like that, you got to take the bet. There's no chance. The Knicks ain't winning a championship in my lifetime. Are you kidding me?
All right. Well, we'll have to noodle on that. So one thing I was thinking about when I was watching the hockey, you mentioned in the last segment. It's just, I actually felt it's terrible to watch the team losing the Stanley Cup They're just standing there.
Have to wait, yeah.
They're bent over. They're like, I can't believe we lost this. This is over. Like, our season's done. All of the grind of what this is.
You've been going since August.
But they stand there, and they wait. And they let those guys celebrate, and they wait, and they wait, and then finally they do the line. And I don't know if there's been any tape that proves the opposite. Maybe there is. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked. I've probably defended guys that have done it in the past, but I watched Wimby just storm off because he's a little crying bitch. go back to France, you monk.
Go eat your baguettes.
Go figure it out. And I watched him storm off. He loses the championship in five. It's one of the best title wins of our lifetime. We'll dive into it. And the next day I watched the Knights lose four out of the last five games and lose the cup. And they stand
on
there,
home ice.
On home ice. Yeah. And they stand there and they take it. And then they say, good game. And they give the respect. And you know what? I've come to the conclusion. I think the take I'm going to have the rest of my life, unless I switch because I like an athlete a lot. Unless Dame just wants
who
to storm
who does something
off.
That you don't want him to do.
Dame pulls a Wimby and leaves. I go, you know,
fine,
it's actually okay.
You know, I'm not that upset about it.
I think I like my athletes. There's something to be said for
being gracious in defeat.
Being a good example. We don't have that in society and or sports a lot. We just don't, man. And I watch the Golden Knights, who I'm not rooting for, take that on their home ice and wait and give their good game, congratulations, versus one guy purposely stepping under the point guard's foot to maybe break his ankle, lose in five, and then just turn around and walk away. And I know he largely did that in every other series.
How is that not called?
Going through the playoffs. But I like my championship. Once it's settled, I like the good game dad, man. I think it's a great thing to teach kids and to just watch in general as a sports fan. I really enjoy it, and watching the other side just storm off.
Right. Huff and puff off the floor.
Yeah, huff and puff off the floor. Like, oh, I lost in five. What a disappointment.
It's been a controversy for a long time. I remember all the way back to Isaiah and
the Pistons doing it,
walking in front of them when Chicago finally beat him, and they love running.
LeBron went through this a little bit.
LeBron
when
definitely
he was losing
did.
In the East.
You'd lose the conference finals in a heartbreaking game, and you didn't get to where you wanted to go, and you just kind of storm off. You don't say congratulations. Everybody's going to be different in every moment. It's mainly just about, I think, setting a good example. I think for a lot of these guys, you're eventually going to win, and so you're going to know, or you already have won. The Pistons example is a great one. Like, when they would beat up on Chicago and bully them and find their way to another NBA championship, they were laughing in their face and celebrating the entire time. And then they turn around and beat you, and you don't even want to shake their hands and say congratulations. I've always felt this way. I don't think it takes a lot. Nobody wants to do it in that moment. Everybody's heartbroken in that moment. But it's the respectful thing to do about competition. And I'll give Carolina some credit, because when you watch Stanley Cup, the last game in the Stanley Cup, there are times when the celebration goes on a little bit too long. And even I'm at home like, guys, that's all you won? Let's go make sure we get the other. Because you can keep celebrating. You just got to go through your handshake line, and then you stay on the ice. You keep celebrating. I thought they were pretty quick and respectful about it. Like, there was a minute or two. Everybody freaks out. You hug. You woo! You get all that out of there. All right, go do our handshake, and then you get back to celebrating. So you try and not let it linger on for 10 minutes while the other team has to stand on the other side of the ice.
I'm with you on the time of it. I don't like, this is a weird thing to say, I don't like when they immediately say good game to each other.
Mm.
Not in hockey. I know hockey's a little different. But in like basketball, like when the Warriors lost the 3-1 lead to the Cavs, it was instant hug each other. Oh my God, we did it.
Yeah, let the other team celebrate for a second.
I like to see the celebration stuff first, and then
kind of hang around on your bench. You're not in anybody's way. Wait till they come in, and then you kind of give them a moment. Let them enjoy the what they've accomplished.
It's a lackluster feeling when they instantly just go up and start dapping up. It's like,
makes it feel like a regular season game.
You won the title. Yeah, like, celebrate that you won the title, then tell them good game.
It's not a February 19th game, okay? This is a little bit of a bigger deal.
Yeah, it's a massive deal. So Tom Dundon and the Hurricanes end up winning the Stanley Cup yesterday. And the New York Knicks have won the NBA Finals the first time in 53 years. Hour two, we kick it off. The Knicks winning in five. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.